From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Madeline Brand. In China, we've been reporting on ethnic unrest between the Han Chinese and the minority Uyghurs, who are mostly Muslim. 180 people were killed in rioting last week. This is the second year of major ethnic unrest in Western China. Last year, there were riots in Tibet. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has this report on the debate over China's policies toward minorities.
Details about the unrest in the Xinjiang region this year and Tibet last year are still hotly disputed. Why did the government take hours to stop the violence? Did peaceful protests precede the riots? Uyghur eyewitnesses say that on the evening of July 5th, Uyghurs demonstrated against the government's handling of a brawl on June 26th. Ethnic Han and Uyghur workers at a toy factory in Guangdong province had fought then, and two Uyghurs were killed. Mohammed is an unemployed 22-year-old Uyghur in Urumqi. He fears arrest and he asked that he be identified by only his first name. He said he arrived at Urumqi's People's Square at 7 p.m. on July 5th, with the protests already underway.
At first, the protesters were very orderly. They said, "Don't smash anything. Don't oppose the government. We're protesting legally." They shouted slogans. They said, "Give us a proper explanation for the events of June 26th. But the police just continue to arrest our people. What can we do about it?"
In a televised speech last week, Xinjiang's Communist Party Secretary Wang Lequan rejected this narrative. Instead, he named U.S.-based Uyghur exile Rabia Kadir as the mastermind behind the riots.
"The incident was caused by foreign hostile forces, headed by Kadir and a few bad people at home, who hyped the toy factory brawl, turning it from an ordinary criminal incident into an ethnic incident."
Kadir has denied instigating the violence. The Chinese government denies that its religious, minority, and economic policies were factors in the unrest. But Mohammed says it was precisely these policies that sent Uyghurs into the streets.
"In Urumqi, there are many unemployed young Uyghur guys like myself. We are unable to get bank loans. Han people can get loans in just 15 days. We can get nothing. I think recent events were related to the government's pressures on us."
Outwardly, the government appears unwilling to reflect on the roots of the crisis. Gardner Bovingdon, a Central Asia expert at the University of Indiana in Bloomington, says that hardliners like Wang Lequan have dominated policy towards minorities for more than two decades.
"Anyone who raises the specter of actually responding to popular protests by minorities, by accommodating their wishes, is shouted down for fear that showing any sign of weakness or flexibility will invite further protests."
But beneath the rhetoric, there is debate. For years, critics have suggested a rethink of China's Soviet-style system of so-called autonomous regions and affirmative action for Tibetans, Uyghurs, and other minorities. Retired Nanjing University professor Wang Yingguo argues that these policies have actually made it harder for minorities to develop a Chinese identity.
"The general trend of the Chinese nation has been for assimilation, but the establishment of these autonomous zones has created an artificial separation between races and locked in their differences."
Wang and other critics also suggest updating the language of ethnicity. Chinese use the term minzu to mean both ethnic group and nation. In fact, China had been a multi-ethnic empire for centuries. But until about 100 years ago, Chinese saw their nation as limited to the Han ethnic group. Tibetans, Uyghurs, Manchus, and other ethnic groups were considered foreigners and not Chinese. Wang says these concepts remain muddled.
"We say that China has 56 ethnic groups, but our national anthem refers to the Chinese ethnic group. So what do we mean by ethnicity? It's a mess."
Experts say that of all the tasks China faces in its quest to become a modern nation, none is more urgent than making the rhetoric of a multi-ethnic state match the reality. But to watch Urumqi split into armed ethnic gangs last week was to see that goal deferred, perhaps for quite a while. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.